B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub app.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, back to your phones. We're starting off with some NBA. We'll get to the Bruins here in a little bit. Got a big picture question for you on the Bruins, but we're going to wrap this up. And you can call on all day long. The Warriors and them being so good, good or bad for the league, to me, I think this is a statement on Durant, what he airlifted himself into. They're still the best team without him. And I think he, with every Warriors win, he's diminished. And I think if he's concerned about his legacy with, you know, other than just the Bobo NBA people, you know, for a little more discerning sports fans, Kevin Durant needs to go somewhere else and needs to win somewhere else, or else I am just going to consider him a hanger-on who completely airlifted and bought his championships worse than any other athlete I've ever seen. Worse than any other athlete I've ever seen, you know, short of like Wade Boggs when he went to the Yankees that year. You know, like someone like that.
Yeah, I think Durant's worse.
I'm going to consider him in that category, that individually you are a loser. You need to go there to win, especially if they win again without him. So I think Durant, for his legacy, needs to go somewhere else and win. I think that what this is. We're also doing a take intervention with Maz. He still thinks Steph Curry's not good enough to build around to be a championship team in the NBA. Sean in Worcester. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys. Maz, I don't understand why you would say such a thing. I think it's blasphemous, and I think it's disrespectful, because Steph Curry is the best shooter to ever play the game of basketball, number one. And number two, didn't this all start with Steph Curry when they drafted him in 09?
Okay, Maz, you want to answer?
So, look, Steph Curry is one of the handful of great shooters in the history of the game, one of the best ever. Is he the best? I don't know. I mean, if he keeps up at this pace, sure. Like, he's in the discussion anyway. That one is hard to split. I'm just telling you again, and we're going to go through the hardware here. We're going to go through the trophy case and everything. I'm telling you that on the defensive end, he can't impact the game. So, to me, a true number one in the NBA has to be able to impact the game on both ends of the floor. So we can argue if you want over the titles. I'm telling you, though, that the 1 year that he won it without Durant, they won it because Kyrie Irving got hurt.
I've heard how difficult these interventions could be.
This one's really hard.
Yeah, I mean, the defiance. I figured it would be there, but not to this level.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not a pushover, Mari.
He hasn't hit bottom yet. Rocco and Saugus. Go ahead, Rocco.
Hey, listen, I want to talk about the Warriors. I want to talk about end of the Kupo, too. But first on the Warriors, I mean, listen, 2016, Steph Curry buckled his knee against the Rockets in the playoffs, and they still advanced in the playoffs. I think they beat the Rockets, they beat the Blazers, and then Klay Thompson saved. Klay Thompson is the key to that team, to that success. He saved Steph Curry a lot on defense, man. Without Klay Thompson, they're not what they are. I mean, that's why I want Klay Thompson to go to the Lakers. Murray, you know I've been saying that for a long time now. I want Klay Thompson to go to the Lakers, and I want him to win another championship with LeBron. Now, on the Kupo, Mike, you said that like a couple of weeks ago he was overrated. I mean, overrated, I wouldn't say that because he doesn't have a shot. I mean, he's like a unique type of player that it's like we've never seen before. He's a little bit of Mutombo, Sean Kemp, and David Robinson. If you call that overrated, then I'll take that all day. Thank you guys for my call.
Okay, baby, he is overrated. I mean, and I think in 2 or 3 years, if he develops a shot, he won't be. Or if he, you know, he's 24. So, and he just grew another 3 inches since his 18th birthday or whatever. I mean, he's still developing. So I'm not telling you that's what he's going to be forever. I'm just telling you at this point in time, he's a little overrated. And he's going to be the best player. He's going to win the MVP. And at this point in time, there's 5 or 6 guys I'd rather have over him. So overrated doesn't mean suck. That's just something you need to understand. He's just not quite there yet. That's what I mean by overrated with Giannis. The first thing he said, Klay Thompson, yeah, I mean, every great player needs a number two. I mean, that's been established, too. You can't win it on your own, no matter how great you are. If you're the greatest player ever, Jordan needed Pippen, blah, blah, blah. Curry needs Thompson. Garnett needed Pierce. Just go down the line. I mean, they all need somebody. So that's, you know, no one can do it on their own. That's for sure.
Well, so again, I'm just telling you, though, that I don't look at it purely in terms of the titles. Okay, I look at it largely in terms of the ability to affect the game on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, but what's that good? I mean, let's say someone doesn't affect it on both ends of the floor, but he wins multiple titles as the number one option. You'd rather have someone affect something on both ends of the floor and lose in the finals?
Okay, so
or lose in the conference finals or be less good? The whole point is to win championships.
Okay, so again, I would tell you, let's go through and do that, and I'd be willing to tell you that the guys we all agree on as number ones were guys who did it on both ends of the floor.
Okay, not all of them. And maybe the league's changing. And maybe Steph Curry's that special. I don't know. I'm just a slave to the facts, to the results. That's
okay, so
all.
Again, not all of them, but what percentage? I'm willing to bet you the large majority.
Really small. So maybe, you know, Curry's the aberration. He's the outlier. He's the one special talent that breaks the mold. I don't know. All I know is he's winning, and he's the lead dog. So what am I supposed to say?
He was the lead dog once.
Okay, and he's on the verge of being another time.
So let's see on the verge. On the verge is a pretty loose term. Let's see how that one shakes out.
Jeff and Merrimack, help us out.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I am going to try desperately to help you out because I think I can break, you know, penetrate Maz's wall he's put up here. Now, there is a little bit of defense in what he's saying that, you know, the Warriors, the beautiful thing about them is you can't really, you know, the discussion about who is the number one and the four guys around him, like LeBron and four clowns, that's a dying discussion because of the way that they play. So it's a beautiful thing. Now, he does not get any type of defensive assignments on D because he's terrible, or not terrible, he's just the worst of the five. So to Maz's point, he doesn't dominate or affect on both ends. And then I did want to clarify two things.
No, I can't give you that much. Just so the whole defensive thing is where you.
It's a huge part of it. It's a huge part of it. So like even Garnett, I would tell you, Garnett affected the game on both ends of the floor. Maybe more on the defensive end, but the offensive end. But like in their prime, at their absolute best, who would I take? Garnett or Curry? I would take Garnett.
Did Bird play great defense?
He was a good team defensive player.
Oh, yeah. That's how you get
He was a
that.
Tremendous defensive rebounder.
That's how he was a good rebounder. I didn't say rebounding.
Tremendous defensive rebounder.
I didn't say rebounding. I said defender.
One-on-one defender, no.
Okay. I agree. I don't remember him being a lockdown good defender. I mean, he was probably good, but didn't stand out.
Yeah, but teams didn't exploit him on the defensive end either. Like, you know, he wasn't
old NBA. In this NBA, there'd be some nerd who'd find some efficiency stat to go at Bird at a certain spot on the floor and they'd pick him apart.
Yeah, maybe. That's fair. Maybe. I can only go by the era he played in.
You know, I mean,
you can dump on Bird if you want.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not going
to
get my back up on that one.
He was. I still think like I still want to call him the best player I ever saw. That guy. Chris in Hartford. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to call about Maz. I want to jump on Maz's ass, but Felger, you know, the 1957 Brewers, you must have like a little one of those little old pennants over you, like your
Braves.
Over your
Braves, they won it all in a real league. Yeah, they won it all.
You know?
Yeah, the Braves won it all in 57.
My 86 Celtics when we had five Hall of Famers and Houston had two.
Yeah, against now the Rockets. Maz. You beat the Rockets. Congratulations.
Two Hall of Famers, Sampson and Olajuwon.
Asterisk.
Now, Maz,
yeah.
When you talk about Golden State, tell me if Curry, who goes ahead, makes Green a Hall of Famer and Thompson a Hall of Famer, and Kyrie can't turn Brown or Tatum into an all-star this year.
Yeah, Maz.
Yeah, I don't think he made Klay Thompson a Hall of Famer.
Has Curry elevated everyone around him out there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Has Kyrie elevated the guys around here?
No,
definitely
made
not.
Worse.
Made them all worse.
Yeah, this isn't a... who's defending Kyrie? Why is this about defending Kyrie? I'm talking about Curry.
You want to bring him back.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a big Kyrie guy.
See, but the call is changing the argument. Kyrie hurt this team this year. There's no two ways about it. The absence of leadership was a big problem. He was a negative. No two ways about it. There were little stages during the year where I thought he was making guys better, but it was never consistent enough. It was never good enough, and his attitude sucked. So I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm going to take Kyrie over Curry. You know, I said all I've ever said is the gap between Curry and Kyrie is not that great. It's not huge. There's a gap there, but it's not huge.
I'd much rather have Curry. So I don't know what that gap means. What much?
I'd rather have Curry too. Curry's a better player than Kyrie.
I'd much rather. So whatever that gap is.
Because Kyrie's a pud.
Yes, correct.
If Kyrie weren't a pud, you'd be okay with it.
Sure. I'd be much more okay with it. No question about it. Maz has some support. We have another person here with a problem who wants to rally around Maz. Go ahead, Brian in Rhode Island. What do you got?
Hi, guys. Long time, first time. But the reason I agree with Maz is I feel like Curry and Klay Thompson, two of the probably greatest shooters of all time if they keep the trajectory. And the reason why I don't see him as a number one is because if you look at the time before Durant, the 1 year that they won the title, it was LeBron and nobody. And then the second time they won the title, or the second time that they played them, they were up 3-1, and Curry couldn't elevate the rest of the team in order to win the title because they lost Draymond Green. And to me, a number one will be able to elevate everybody in a 3-1 situation in order to win the title. Because then after that, they got Durant, and then it's just history from there. I'll listen and hang up, and your chance got his
back. Okay, yeah, no, I mean, I hear you. That's Maz's argument, that they lost that series.
Enabler.
But just because you, I mean.
Enabler. I like that guy. I just found a running mate.
That's what I meant, enabler. Good job, Murray. I'm sorry. I mean, Bird lost to the Lakers a couple times in the finals. So is he not good enough? Is he not good enough? He lost those. The only time he wanted two of his three championships against the Rockets. So am I going to, because Ralph Sampson hit some stupid shot at the buzzer against the Lakers in the West Finals, Bird got to play the Rockets.
Magic was better than Bird.
And so am I going to take that away from Bird? I'm not. He won the championships. But we're going to peel it back from Curry just a little bit because Irving got hurt. I think that's a sign of a problem.
I don't think it's a sign of a problem at all. You know what Irving shot in the final five games of that series? 47% from three. From three. Yeah, see, like everybody forgets this conveniently. That whole series changed when Kyrie became a factor. And so all of a sudden, the second player made all the difference in the world. So when they lost him the year before, why don't we use the same argument?
I'm just saying that.
Matthew Dellavedova had a couple of good games.
Oh,
there.
God, please.
Good job, Murray. Good job. All right, so let's get to the
Deli.
I have a big picture Bruins. I have an important big picture Bruins question for you people. I think it's important. I don't know. You tell me. We'll do it right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Do you want to make a move? Do you feel you have to make a move?
You know, I think where I sit, my job is really to encourage and support Don and Cam. If they have a decision and they feel like they want to make the move, I'm all for it. I also, you know, listen, I wouldn't be out of context to share that we've had the discussions that we have this window with Patrice and with David and the centers and the players that we have, and it's not going to last forever. So, and we have a number of young kids that are coming up. And I've got reports from the World Juniors in Western Canada. Just about, you know, we've got a player on just about every national team that's doing quite well. So, I think there's an opportunity there. It doesn't invite you, Michael. I'm not inviting you to get back on talk radio or get back to Boston and say, Charlie Jacobs said we need to make a trade. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I support whatever management decides to do, and we have had this context discussion about our window.
That was Charlie Jacobs on with us at the Winter Classic in Chicago. And I just play that, and he sort of forecasted there that they were going to make moves at the trade deadline. And the reason was they were cognizant of the window that they have. And that sort of struck us. Because I don't know if I'd ever really looked at the Bruins in those terms, although we should have. And it was surprising to see that they looked at it in those terms, the window. There's a window on this team. Chara's age, Bergeron's age, Krejci's age, Tuukka Rask's age, etc. They think the window's, that there's a window here and it's closing in the next couple of years. So that's all a way to set up what I want to do today. And that is, how do we feel about the future of this team? How do we feel about the future of the Bruins? And throughout the week, we can give you some big picture Bruins topics to just sort of keep hockey on the brain all week long. It's going to be a hard fill getting to game one on Monday, but this is what we're going to do today. The future of the team. Do we think this is a one-off thing and that, you know, look out, it's going to be a while till we're back again?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. And can I tell you that, can I use the term, and this is wishy-washy, pretty good, but not great? Can I tell you that?
Yeah.
Because the way I look at it is this. When Bergeron and Krejci are gone, who steps in? Like, where are the forwards? Where are the centers? Where are they? This is a big thing for me going forward in terms of, you know, whether they will be championship caliber. Now, the good news, on the back end, they look pretty good. And I'm assuming they're going to keep Carlo and McAvoy. Those two guys, those are two guys you can build your decor around for 10 years. Like, they should be able to do that. You have a puck-moving first pair defenseman and a, you know, shutdown second pair defenseman. So you should be able to be go four deep on your D now for 10 years. Okay, that shouldn't be an issue. Goalie, we'll see. I mean,
no, but that's I wouldn't. We'll see that. Rask is 32.
Yeah, it's a small window. It's kind of a maybe, and I hate to be, you know, on the fence like that, but it's true because we're not talking about these guys that are all Chara's age at ancient, but they're in their early 30s. So I don't know, maybe the next 4, maybe 5 years. Beyond that, I think it could be problematic.
4 or 5? Where are you getting 5 from?
How about 2?
In 5 years, Krejci's 38 and out of the league. In 5 years, Bergeron's 38 and out of the league.
Yeah, but you still have Pastrnak, who's 22. DeBrusque.
In 5 years, Rask is 37 and out of the league. In 5 years, Chara's a grandfather. 5 years.
To me, it's 2. Krejci's up in 2 years. I'm not going to sign Krejci again.
I think you got 1.
Oh, it's
I mean,
more
not
than
to
that.
A big deal anyway.
It's more than that.
I think you got 1. I think you got 1 more year after this, and then what?
All right, so 5 might be too much, but then 3. So you don't believe that Pastrnak could actually become, you know, like a legitimate stud in this
okay,
league?
Okay, so there's one guy. Sure,
that.
No, he isn't.
How about Jake DeBrusque?
Like him.
Okay.
Who's
so
your goalie?
There. So Rask, within the next 3 years, if we're looking at it, that's the window, just 3, he'll be, what, 35?
So the me with to me with Rask, the question is, like, what's it going to cost to keep him
so,
in 2 years?
Okay, so you want 3 years. He only has 2 years left on his contract. Let me ask you this. Honestly, if Tuukka Rask was up for a contract right now, right this second, when he's on top of the world, never seen him play better. If he was up for a contract right now and it took 5 times 7, 5 times 8, would you give it to him?
No.
No.
Would you?
No.
No, I wouldn't either.
With and 2 remaining? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, so this is the concern for me is like, so, but I'll tell you
so
what.
So I'm saying Rask's shelf life here is 2 years.
But let's say that, you know, they come to some agreement and they even keep the goalie. I'll tell you on the back end, I feel okay. I feel okay on the back end.
To win cups?
Yeah.
Contend for cups? Okay.
Yeah, because you got 2 good defensemen there and a goalie that, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see how it plays out with Tuukka here, but it looks pretty good at the moment in terms of what level he can get to.
Fair enough.
What about up front?
So
this is a big problem.
I've just there's a million websites who'll give this to organizational depth charts. This is from Elite Prospects, a website that I just Googled, and I have no idea if they're legit or not. It could be some 17-year-old kid in his mother's basement.
It's a good website. I like it.
Oh, do you?
I've used this before, yes.
Oh, well, then I stumbled on one that's actually gets a Jimmy Stewart seal of approval.
Thank God.
The organizational depth chart at center reads this. Patrice Bergeron, 1. He's 33 years old. David Krejci is 33 years old. Next is Charlie Coyle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Coyle has 1 more year under contract.
Mm-hmm.
So he's under contract next year. Then he's an unrestricted free agent. The 4th center on the depth chart is David Backes. He's gone and is not a center anymore. Next one is Sean Corrali, who I love on your 4th line. Then they consider Nordstrom a center. He's whatever that is, 6th. Then Jacob Forsbacka Carlson, 7. Gamel Smith, who I'm not familiar with, is next. Trent Frederick, that late first-round pick out of Wisconsin who's in Providence, is next. What are we, 8 or 9? Cameron Hughes, who I'm not familiar with, is next. Something named Mark McNeil is after that. Then there's Juna Kapanen. Then Jack Studnicka.
He's all the way down there.
Second-round pick. I think he's probably 10th on this list, maybe. Okay. Maybe 12th. I don't know. I lost track. They don't number him for me there. So, I mean, we'll just stop there. Who's the next Bergeron? Who's the next Krejci?
I don't know. And this is what I find alarming. Is that this is a huge part of who you are.
Who's the next captain?
McAvoy, maybe?
So there should,
or Carlo, one of those guys?
There should be a little thing, a little time here where Chara retires and Bergeron's still here and
sure.
He's your captain.
Yeah. Well, I was sort of foregoing that.
So Bergeron's the next captain, but that'll be finite. Bergeron, for God's sake, you know, he played, he's I say only 33, but those are like Garnett years where he, you know, he...
Right, he's in the league at 18.
He played, this is his 15th season for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, so there should be a little time there. Maybe Char gives you 1 more year, maybe 2, then Bergeron, 1. Who's the next captain?
Marchand.
You hope it's McAvoy. Marchand, I hate to break it to you, is 31 years old. So it's not like he's any pup either.
And again, and I don't mean this to diminish, because he became a way better player than I ever thought. He's a winger. Where are the centers? Where are they?
They don't have them.
So this is a problem. Like, now, again, now we're talking long term. You know, the Cup's next week. I get it. But I'm telling you, long term, there are no replacements right now for Bergeron and Krejci. And Bergeron's a hard one anyway. Okay, to find another guy like him, you're asking for a lot. Like, you're talking about a, you know, an all-time organization guy. Like, he's up there.
I think even next year is interesting, keeping this team together. For because if you ask me their window with the current group, it's one more year.
Because of Coyle.
Now, if they evolve into something else, then maybe they open a new window. But this window, I think next year is it. Because I think Chara is really, you know, you can see the finish line with him now. And he's going to be your fourth defenseman next year. And thank God his salary, you know, reflects it. He's only making $2 million. But next year, they have $14 million in cap room. $14 million. You have to pay McAvoy. He's going to want a lot. He's going to be your highest paid player, maybe. Between $7 and $8 million. Okay, so there's half of it on McAvoy. Carlo's up. Now, these are restricted guys, but the way it worked in the league is those restricted guys get paid. It's a horrible system. But those restricted guys get paid like they're unrestricted. Carlo's up. He's a defensive defenseman, doesn't put up offensive numbers, so I don't know, just call it three.
It'll be more than that, but go ahead.
Call it four then. So now you're at 11. There's 11 of your 14 just to get those two guys back. Marcus Johansson's an unrestricted free agent. He's gone.
You got to let him go. You can't afford him.
Danton Heinen and Nolan Achari are both free agents.
Achari, see you later. Heinen depends on the number.
Achari's going to be $1 million. You should be able to keep him. I'd like to think you can keep him for $1 million. And Heinen's going to be $2-3. I mean, I just chewed up all your cap space. It's all gone. If you can even fit it in there. If McAvoy is an a-hole about this thing, and I don't mean to call him an a-hole, but if he's like really... If he really digs in, he's going to want eight. And if Carlo's guy really digs in, he's going to want four. Now, you can buy out Backus. That'll save you some. We can play with this. But, you know, next year, they should be able to keep it mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly. After that, Coyle's going to be unrestricted. See you later. Right when DeBrusque is up. Right when some others are up. So I think their window with this group is one more year. And then I think they undergo really major changes. The goalie's going to be up after at that year. And I just think that's what you're looking at. So, is this team built to last? We said that in 2013. They're built to last. You look at that roster, the youth. Hamilton was there. Sagan was there. Like, this team's going to be here for a decade. Never mind Krejci and Burr. All those guys were good aged. And Rask was young. You said, this team's going to be the team of the decade. And how'd that work out? So, we all felt great about them in 13, and that didn't really pan out. How do we feel about them now? How's the future of this team? Is this a one and done? There is one thing that will never happen again for this team. And I'll tell you what that is after Murray's update. Again, there was breaking Patriots news today. He'll give it to you here. We'll continue this conversation on the other side.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it's nice to go to work this time of year, get up and go to work. Someone texts me, oh, you know, you get some family time, go. No, I want to go to work this time of year. I think that's why we're in this profession. You know, we'll have all summer to golf or do this or that. So for me, there's only going to be two teams doing it. So there is a little bit. I was envious of teams in the past who were able to work this time of year, and I'm sure it's the same way. You want to be the king of the hill, right?
All right, that was Cassidy today. Plenty of time for golf. Here's the thing. Then we talk about the Bruins window. Here's what's not going to happen again. The seas are not going to part the way they've parted for the Bruins this year. Where you get to go through the NHL playoffs and not really play any of the top teams. I mean...
Yeah, that does kind of feel like a once-in-a-lifetime event that's taken place.
I don't think people fully appreciate this. When you won in 2011, you had to go through the best team in hockey, Vancouver. When you lost in 2013, you lost to the best team of the decade, probably, in the Chicago Blackhawks. When you went in 1988 and 1990, you lost to an all-time team in the Edmonton Oilers. Not only are you not running into an all-time team, You're not even running into a top team in the league. Okay? This is never going to... I can't imagine this is going to happen again. League standings. When you look at where these teams finished in the league, okay? You will have gone in the first round against the eighth place team, then in the next round to the 13th place team, and then in the conference final, you'll play the 11th place team. And if St. Louis wins tonight, you'll then play the 12th place team. Think of that. If St. Louis wins tonight, you would not have gone through a single team that finished in the top eight in the league in the regular season. Toronto was eighth. Think of that.
Unbelievable.
That ain't happening again. So the next time you go, you're facing Tampa, or you're going to face Ovechkin in Washington, or you're going to face Crosby in Pitt. You're going to face a team like you almost always do, and everyone almost always does. Eventually, you have to go through the iron. You didn't have to play a single team in the, I said top eight, top seven, if I'm being fair. And you were third, okay? So you're the only team left in the top eight. So you went from the 8th place team to the 13th place team to the 11th place team to the 12th place team if St. Louis wins tonight. If San Jose, you'd face the 6th best record. So no one in the top 5. That doesn't happen. Even in hockey when it's all over the place, that doesn't happen in that league. Usually by the time you get to the finals, you're facing a real team and a real opponent. I mean, usually. Or you've at least faced it at some point along the way. To go the entire playoffs, and the highest seeded team that you faced was the 8th best team in the league. That window is shut after this week.
No, it's like that is an enormous stroke of good fortune.
Oh my God.
That's the kind of thing that would happen to the Patriots, for crying out loud. Really? Like, you know, because the league is so inept. But the door opened wide open for them. The one thing I'll say is that I think Toronto was a legit opponent.
No question it was.
Oh, definitely.
Right? So Toronto was it. You know, Bruins were in a tough division, and Toronto was the third place team, but they got a real team there. But after that, you know, they've gotten some teams they should beat.
I mean, I'm just saying, look, we can parse it and we can play around.
Of course.
You know, Columbus is no 13 seed. They're better than that. And, yeah, you know, I mean, I get it. I'm just telling you.
But they're not top five either.
Big picture? Oh, my God. This ain't happening again. This is not happening again. You do not have to go through Wayne Gretzky and the Oilers, or Mark Messier and the Oilers, or Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves on the Chicago Blackhawks, who won 3, or Vancouver, who, you know, you certainly, you know, burst that bubble, but they were the best team in the league that year. On, I think they were like number one in almost everything. They were.
They were number one in goals scored, number one in goals against, and they were a wagon. They were like 120 points or something.
Best team in the league.
Yeah.
And credit to you. That's why that championship really, you know, you earned that puppy. You beating that team. This year, I won't say it's handed to you, but boy, there's an opportunity. The opportunity's been handed to you. That ain't happening again. So that I can tell you. The window of this Bruins team, what is it?
Even that they ended up with home ice throughout. That was the other thing.
Like incredible.
Calgary gets knocked off early by Colorado. And then, you know, even I started thinking like, wow.
After the first round, you had home ice.
They had home ice in the first round.
Well, no, what I mean is
no, right? But they've had home ice throughout, as it turned out.
Yes,
right. Like, you know,
and they even have that good of a year.
It was good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, they really got hot again late in the year. So,
but it wasn't like this epic.
No,
you know,
no,
clearly no. The best team in the league. Like, you know,
buzzsaw,
the road to the championship goes through the Bruins. No one said that. Everyone said actually second round you're kind of porked. And ends up they're. A home ice throughout the playoffs, and again, the last three rounds will have been against the 11th, 12th, and 13th best teams in the league, based on regular season. Like, that does not happen. I am sorry.
Tough to line it up like that.
Okay, and again, that's if St. Louis wins tonight. If St. Louis wins tonight. If San Jose wins tonight, they had the 6th best record, and that changes that story a little bit. But be aware of that thing. Never mind your roster and the everything else, how it laid out for you this year. Chris in Chicago, thoughts on the Bruins. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I don't think going back to the trade deadline, do you know the reason why they didn't sign someone like Mark Stone? They didn't think they were going to be here. This is complete luck. And if you want to know how your leadership is going to do going forward, let's take a quick look at the past. David Backes, how about Matt Beleski, John Moore, and more importantly, more than anything else, two guys, Zach Senyshyn and our friend Jacob Zboril. Yikes.
See how they
That's
say,
pretty scary.
Okay, so they blew it in 2015. There's no question about it, which is why Studnicka's a huge guy,
He's a massive one.
Massive, because he plays center, and that's the next way. He's got offensive ability, and that guy's got to hit. That guy's got to hit. And then they need a winger or two to hit. Maz is right. The forward group is scary.
Especially when you consider the numbers they had there.
But you're wrong about Mark Stone. Let me just say that. Jimmy, can you just, what did Mark Stone get?
He got like $8 million a year from Vegas.
Mark Stone got $9.5 from Vegas, I think.
So I'm not even talking about the contract. I'm talking about what did they have to give up to get him. Was it a first-round pick in there?
They gave up their top defensive prospect.
Yeah, I was going to say the defenseman they gave up was an elite defense prospect.
Okay, I didn't want the Bruins to do that. I don't think they spent on Rick Nash a year before. You can't go too many years just dealing off your first-round pick. So, no, that's wrong. The price on Stone was way too high for them. It made more sense for Vegas. And, no, I disagree with you. Now, did the Bruins think that they were a lock for the Cup? Probably not. I mean, who could predict that after the first round, there's no Crosby, no Ovechkin, and no Stamkos in Tampa? Like, no one could have predicted that.
Unbelievable.
But I don't blame them for not going after Mark Stone. Not at all.
I mean, look, in retrospect, how can you blame them for what they did at the deadline at all?
They had a good deadline.
I mean, they nailed it on both of those guys, really. But, you know, and I'm not saying they've been perfect, but they've both been good. They have both been good players for them.
What's the window on this team? Rask is 32 and has two more years left. And I'll ask you again. If you wanted an extension right now, would you give it to him?
No.
Have you bought in that much, Boston?
No. No, not with 2 years remaining.
I mean, so...
See, I look at this
as... Tuca's window is two more years. Chara's, again, one, maybe two, and what level is he playing? Krejci's 33. Bergeron's 33. Marchand's considered the young guy. He's 31. I like Coyle as a third line center. He's up after next year. He's going to get paid. I don't know how you keep him. So,
and they should be able to replace Coyle.
Like, he should be. Right.
You're talking about a third line guy there.
I'm just saying, what is the shelf life of this team?
Yeah, I told you. I put it at a couple of years.
One. And I'm not telling you you're going to suck. I'm telling you you're going to be something different. And if that something different is good enough, maybe it's good enough and you're a champion again. I'm not telling you that you're going to... I'm just saying this group, this incarnation, sorry, Doc
Bergeron, Sweeney, Krejci.
This incarnation of the Bruins, you've got 1 year left. That's what I think. Back to your thoughts after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
Seabrook will play it up the boards and just out to center ice. Taves racing after a free puck against Krug. Krug will bat it away, but that's it. As time expires and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
That one sucked. But you looked at it and you said, well, at the time, Bergeron's 27. Krejci's 27. Rask is 26. Sagan just got here and he had a really disappointing playoffs. But that kid's, at the time, I don't even remember, 20 and a stud. You had just drafted Dougie Hamilton and you all thought at the time, stud, just got into the league, 19 years old. And you looked at that team and you said, we're not going anywhere. Our window's huge. What a window. It was all right in front of you. And it took you 6 years to get back, and you got not a totally different team, but all that youth, gonzo, for very little in return. And it's still the Krejci, Bergeron, that core, Chara, that has got you back here.
I mean, that's where it all started to go wrong, was right after that game. I mean, because that was the summer they traded Sagan.
That's right.
I mean, it all, you know, they were set up. You couldn't have set it up any better. The year they won it in 11, Sagan was a rookie. I mean, you had the guy right there. Like, and let's just say Sagan had panned out. OK, Okay. Because again, we can, you know, we can certainly say that it might have been the best move to deal him. I mean, that's not wrong. But let's say that it had panned out. Right now, they'd have Sagan on this roster under contract. And they say, well, when Bergeron goes or whatever, he moves right in.
You got the guy.
This is part of the reason why they wanted to sign Tavares, because they wanted a young guy to make the transition to when Bergeron and Krejci were gone. They recognize it. They're not fools over there. They know they don't have centers coming. It's a problem.
So when you look at the age of the roster, you look at the salaries, you look at when they're up and when they're due, the window of this group, Sweeney's word, is that I think at most one more year. And then they evolve into something else, and if it's good enough, it's good enough, and you've started a new window, and hopefully they can transition it. But with this team, so this is why we played that Charlie Jacobs cut. It never really occurred to me. Window. And the team said, we're cognizant of the window. And now I know what he's talking about. Now he knows what he's talking about. And in terms of the window, what happened with the seedings and the bracket, that ain't ever going to happen again. That ain't ever going to happen again. I'm confident in saying that. That the final three rounds of the playoffs, you'll play the team with the 11th, 12th, and 13th best records in the league. In the second round, conference final, and Stanley Cup final. That's what happens if St. Louis wins tonight. They had the 12th best record in the league. Columbus had the 13th. Carolina, which was the biggest joke of a team, had the 11th. Toronto was 8th. So talk about a road. Talk about a nice road. That is not happening again. Back to your calls. Rick in Medford. Go ahead, Rick.
How's it going, guys? They have such incredible defensive depth that you have to think that the place that they're going to get their centers from is by dealing some of their defensive pieces.
What's their incredible defensive depth?
Well, I mean, you have the starting six right now. So McAvoy, Chara, Krug, Carlo.
Krug has one more year left, and he's an unrestricted free agent. He's going to get his ass paid because he scores points. You want to pay him $8 million a year?
Which actually leads me into my next point, which is, if you look at Vancouver and Anaheim, they're sitting in the top 10 top 10 in the draft. And there are two stud forwards who project to fall down there. So why don't you trade Torrey Krug now, get the cap relief, and take, Cole Caulfield or what the heck's the other guy's
okay,
name?
Okay, so you can't give me, I'm sorry, Rick, you can't give me, like, draft, NHL draft talk like that.
But I think he's onto something in terms of, like, you went over the cap space that they have or don't have. And they're going to have to create some.
So if to sign McAvoy and Carlo and Heinen, if you want to put the quiet one on the list, you want him back. All those guys are restricted in the league the way that works now. They get paid. They get their ass paid. You have $14 million in space. I think McAvoy, Carlo, and Heinen get to 14, just those three, or close to it. Never mind Achari, who's unrestricted, or Johansson, if you have any dreams of keeping him. He's going to be expensive. He's gone. They have just enough next year, I think, to keep the team together for the most part, keep together 90% of the team, the guys that you want. And if you buy out Backes and, you tell me. If you get somebody to take David Krejci next year, do you do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Highest paid player on the team, 7.25. He's got 2 years left, and he's lost a lot of his no movement protections starting next year.
In fact, now would be a good time to do it because he's coming off a good year.
Sell high.
Yeah. Right. And look, I just think that they may be faced with this decision. That's all I'm getting at. If they want to keep the group together and try to make another one, another run at it, then you keep Krug. Otherwise.
But the thing about this defensive depth, so Greslick's up in a year too. This is why I say your window's a year with this current incarnation. Grizzlick is going to put up points. He's going to get paid. You can't have him and Krug. So one of them's gone. So Grizzlick's gone.
I mean, to me, I'd rather keep Grizzlick than Krug because I just think the lifespan is longer.
But this depth, and again, for you hardcore Bruins people, you tell me, Jeremy Lauzon, is that? Or Vakanainen?
Well, Vakanainen's a first-round pick, right? They expect him to play.
People like him. Zboril?
Forget Zboril.
How long is he going to be? He's drafted in 2000. We're going on 4 or 5 years now.
Forget Zboril.
Where is he?
I feel good about them on the back end, though, between what you just said, okay? McAvoy, Carlo, and then Vakanainen, Lauzon. Like, one of those two should pan out. And even if he's a second pair guy, then you keep Grizzlick. You're okay back there. It's the forward, it's the center group in particular that they have the problem. That's where the issue is. And if you wanted to throw wing on the list and make it about forwards in general, you could do that too, because between Bjork and JFK and, you know, Frederick, if you want to throw him on the list, and I know it's still early on some of these guys, but a lot of these guys that we rattled off as all this depth, they haven't panned out.
Okay, and here's a hard one, but I just put it on the list. Rask is 32 and has 2 years left on his contract. Are you going to re-up him at the same number? You want to do that? I don't see a lot of support for that.
Mike, if he wins a cup, the number's going up.
No question. So call it 8 a year. I don't think that's in the cards. I wouldn't want to do that. So who's the next goalie? Who's the next goalie? Darth Vladar? This giant 6'9" Russian who just sits on his knees?
I'm all for it. After watching Ben Bishop, do it.
you got to ask that one. And again, I'm leery of overpaying a goalie because I don't know where they come. They come from everywhere. They come from out of the woodwork. So you just got to be careful there. But you still got to have a guy, or at least, you know, a couple. You got, so just put on the list. So that's what we're talking about. The future of this Bruins team. That's our big picture Bruins take today. Do they got to win this year? Because there's going to be a reset coming up? Do they have to win this year? Because it's never going to be this wide open for them.
I think more than anything else, it's that. Like what the path was, who they had to face.
Can you imagine?
If they end up getting the Blues, like there's really no excuse here. Ending up with home ice.
If the Blues win tonight, the hardest competition, I think, easily would have been that Toronto team. And what you're looking at is, you know, you would have gone to a Stanley... If you played the Blues, without having to play Ovechkin, Stamkos, Crosby, Holtby, not have to face a Nashville team that's been knocking at the door for a couple years, or a Winnipeg team that's big and talented and deep. I mean, it's just staggering. The
Vegas
road.
Team that made the cup final last year and stocked up at the trade deadline.
They're all gone. They're
Calgary,
all gone.
The one seed.
I mean, you couldn't have asked after the first round, you couldn't have asked for a better draw.
If you seed them 1-16 in terms of regular season record, the Bruins have gone from the 8th to the 13th, to the 11th, and if St. Louis wins tonight, the 12th team, the 12th seed. That's your championship road. That, I'm telling you, I keep getting stuck on that one. So, we started off Celtics, and we had a take intervention with Maz. He still doesn't think Steph Curry's worth building around in the NBA. That's one. The Bruins thing is two. We'll get to some updated Patriots items and some breaking Patriots items today. We'll do that next. We'll do it after. Well, first, Murray's going to give you the breaking Patriots news and his update, and then we'll talk about it. No commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.